So last night, Terry did what Terry does best, gave a rousing glimpse of our call to community. And I always think Terry might have missed his call, that maybe he should have been a salesman. But if he were a salesman, there'd be a lot of people walking around with cars that they don't need and can't afford. So thanks be to God that instead he was yoked to the kingdom of God. But, you know, I don't know about you, but there's this part of me that thinks, on the one hand, when he says that the local church is the hope of the world, I think, yes and amen. Yes and amen. That, you know, it boils down to, with all these problems in the world that we can't address, we can't solve, at least we have the gift of Christ Church Denver. And we just have to till this vineyard and be faithful there. And yet, there's also a part of me that thinks, uh-oh. If the local church is the hope of the world, I don't know. I mean, I don't always sense that the local church has that same robust community that we talk about with such ideals. And I spend most of my time now in Seattle with my wife, Liz, in a very deconstructed, post-Christian, if it ever was Christian, secular, non-done, spiritual but not religious context. I think if most people walked into their local church, they wouldn't necessarily sense a place of deep connection and community. They would leave there with the same pit of loneliness that Father Terry talked about last night. And there was a recent Surgeon General report, I don't know if anybody saw this, 82 pages on the epidemic of loneliness in our country. So this morning, you know, Terry can give the rousing talk. I'm going to be the bad cop. So he can inspire. I'm going to bring us down. You're going to get the cynic and the skeptic, the doubter about this whole community thing as we talk about some of the barriers to community. What prevents us from having a real robust sense of life and faith together at Christ Church? Whether we're connected in small groups or on Sunday mornings, as Terry's saying, glancing off one another as we say, hey, I hope you had a good week. Go Broncos. See you next week. What keeps us from that kind of deep connective community that Terry was talking about yesterday? We can come up with a really long list, but let me just throw out a few things to start us out here. First of all, the devices that we're all carrying, right? Terry mentioned this last night. We are more connected than we have ever been before. I'm texting and messaging with some of y'all. You see me, I'm preaching up on the screen while I live in Seattle from my living room. I mean, those things are incredible. We would never have been able to conceive of those things 10, 20, 30 years ago. These devices are incredible, and they allow us to do great things, but they also are tearing community apart. Social media, as much as it brings us together, has created echo chambers of ideological refraction where we're only listening to the things that reaffirm our own worldview, and they're tearing communities apart. So technology has been great. It's been a great gift, but it is also fraying at the fabric of society. So that's one. Two, our built environments. We're long past the days where we would live together in these deeply connected villages where we knew basically everybody in the village, and if you needed a cup of sugar, you go over there and ask them for it. We live in a very different environment now. Our built environments are filled with dead ends where we don't actually really know our actual neighbor. So when Jesus says, love your neighbor, we think of that in some abstract thing, not our actual neighbor next door who we don't even know. I've been we moved in our house almost 10 months ago now in Seattle. We have not yet met our neighbors across the street. 10 months into living there. I don't even know their names. Our neighbors next door, Mike and Martin, they've been great, but the rest of them, we don't know. A lot of us live in apartment buildings where it'd be awkward if you knocked on the person's door next door. You kind of want to keep your distance and be quiet. So there's something about the built environments that we live in that are not conducive to community. There's no longer the town square or the meeting place where we get to know people. And I'm talking about community on a large scale here, not just community in the church. That's a challenge for us. Again, there we go. We have deep ideological and political divisions in our country and our world these days. I've said multiple times, I think we're headed into what may be the most contentious political election in at least this last decade, last few decades. And I'm kind of concerned about political violence at the end of this thing. And we have lost the ability to talk to one another about across political differences, across divides. And we're now in a cancel and cut off culture, where if you didn't vote for the person that I voted for, if you don't agree with the policies that I agree with, you're no longer my friend. In fact, I unfollowed you on Facebook and I never want to hear anything that you say or post ever again, right? Yet I know that in this room, as a church, we have people that voted for Donald Trump. We have people that voted for Joe Biden. And we have people like my wife, Liz, who voted for Kanye West. Teach their own. I mean, he's a great rapper. Yay, sorry. She corrected me. But we're a deeply divided culture that no longer knows how to talk to one another. That is fraying at the fabric of community, not just in the secular world in which we live, but in the church, where churches are becoming ideologically divided and we only want to go to church with people that are like us and think like us, instead of taking the time to talk with people whose views may be different than we might maybe learn something from them. There are a lot of barriers to community. Oh, went a little bit too far there. Now here's where the church comes in, right? Here, the church is supposed to be the body under which the cross, all of us have been saved by the grace of God, and we all come in under the cross of Christ. We all have this unifying identity as followers of Jesus. The church is supposed to be the place where we have real, robust community, and we get to know one another and bear one another's burdens. And that is what it looks like on paper. Often in reality, that's not the case. Anybody experience that in the church? Anybody experience that sense of loneliness and lack and, oh, it's not quite been what I hoped it would be in the church? As I said, I'm going to be the Debbie Downer of this talk. Now, at Christ Church, before the pandemic, and just be quick on this because some of you have already heard this sermon like 75 times. But some of you are newer to Christ Church, so I figured we'd review this real quickly. Right before the pandemic, whenever I was called to Christ Church to serve as the associate, we were talking about the difference between the church gathered and scattered. Anybody remember that? Ad nauseum, you're like, oh, please move on from that. What we meant by that is the church gathered on Sunday morning at a place, at a time, 2950 South University Boulevard, 10:30 a.m. on a Sunday morning. We did that exceptionally well. You walk into Christ Church, and I hear the story all the time from folks. So they walked in. I've never been at a more welcoming church. People came up, and they were so friendly. They were so nice. They actually seemed like they wanted to be together. It was a beautiful worship experience. As soon as I walked in the sanctuary, I was home. Again, quick show of hands. Anybody say that was my story? I mean, tons of people here. Yet, we found that we did the gathered church thing on Sunday morning really well, but we would all disperse to our different homes and our different lives for Monday through Saturday. See you next Sunday for an hour and a half. How do we develop that other piece in our Monday through Saturday lives as followers of Jesus, and that community piece in particular? So just as we are starting to preach this thing about church gathered and scattered, we ran into another barrier, that little thing called the pandemic. Anybody remember that? Where all of a sudden, as somebody was saying, you know, I didn't really like the word church scattered beforehand, and I really don't like it now that I have to be isolated in my apartment, and I don't get to see anybody. That was a real challenge for us. How do we live life and faith together? How do we be a community when we cannot physically gather together? Some of you will remember that at that time, we mapped out our membership at Christ Church. And by we, I mean Bob Hodges. But we'll take full credit, right, Terry? I did take a screenshot and put that graphic in the PowerPoint. But this is a glimpse of our membership at Christ Church. This is another barrier, a challenge for us. You can see that spread all throughout the Denver metro area. And in fact, I've cut out the outliers here. I like to joke that our membership comes from, you know, just south of Fort Collins, all the way down to Castle Rock, to way out east Aurora, almost Nebraska. And then you see some of our membership in Evergreen. Now we've got members from California and Philadelphia that all of a sudden started joining us when we were streaming online and are very much a part of our church, but don't fit in the conceptions of community and the models of community that we've typically had for the church. Oh, that's a wrap it up? Okay. 49 minutes in. So this is a real challenge to us because, again, how do we live community together when we're coming from all over the Denver metro area? You know, small groups at Christ Church on a Tuesday night is a real challenge when you have kids in soccer practice and violin or something like that. So when we meet all these barriers to community, you know, there is this temptation in us. That's like a misplaced. That was supposed to be busyness. That's another big barrier to temptation to community. The temptation to us is just say, why is this community so hard? And just give up. We're just do our Sunday morning thing and not try for this deeper, more robust sense of community that we're trying to talk about over the course of this Weekend Away, but not just talk about, we experience. So many people that go to Weekend Away say, this is the best community event I've ever had at church. So how do we carry some of the spirit of Weekend Away back with us into our Sunday and Monday through Saturday lives at Christ Church? And here we hear the words of Jesus in the gospel this morning. If anyone wants to be my follower, they must do what? Deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Think at the heart of community, one of the biggest barriers for us is our own hearts, our own reluctance to participate in community. Whether it's the busyness, whether it's any excuses that you want to put in there. We are standing in our own way of building the community that we really want. So what does it look like for us to deny the inclinations that we have to seek ourselves and serve ourselves and instead seek others and the good of others in community, to be a follower of Jesus who willingly takes up our cross, denying our own selfish inclinations to live life and faith together? To be with, become like, and live like Jesus, as we're talking about at Christ Church, means to be a part of a costly community, a community that, like Jesus, counted the cost and decided that you're worth it, and you're worth it, and you're worth it, and you're worth it, that I'm going to put aside the other things in my life to build community with you. And it is also a cruciform community, a community that is shaped by the cross of Christ, a willingness to die to ourselves for the good of the other. To follow in the footsteps of Simon of Cyrene, who picks up the cross of Christ and bears his burden, to be a community that bears one another's burdens together. So, as I said, a real Debbie Downer. This is like my spirit animal. I hope you like your meal. There's people starving in Somalia. Call me Debbie Downer. So that's the bad news of community, is it requires dying to self. It requires saying, look, I don't like this person, but I'm called by Jesus to love them. I don't have to agree with them politically. Let me tell you, some of my deepest friendships in life have been with people that I have chosen to be a friend because we are brothers in Christ and we don't agree on anything, but we have chosen to be friends because we are baptized and we are brothers in Christ, and we're going to talk about political differences and ideological perspectives, and we're not going to convince one another, but we're going to stay friends and be a united church in a divided culture. And that requires a lot of ego sacrifice when I really want to convince everybody that all of my ideas are the absolute right ones. It requires that I put myself aside when the last thing I want to do is go hang out with this person or go help them. And it's Tuesday night, and I just want to go to bed. But I know that the call to Christian community is to put myself and my inclination aside to go be with them. It requires a reprioritizing of our schedules to say, look, building in some sort of small group or connection with somebody else in this church, or let me be clear, we don't even care if it's Christ Church Denver. If you have community outside of this church, we're talking about the kingdom of God and building community as brothers and sisters of Christ beyond Christ Church. That's fine. But it requires putting that on your calendar on Thursday night, and that is sacrosanct. Nothing can change that commitment to being together in community. That requires real sacrifice, taking up your cross. Here is what Henry Nouwen had to say about community. See if this resonates with you. The word community has many connotations, some positive, some negative. Community can make us think about safe togetherness, shared meals, common goals, joyful celebrations, all the great stuff that we're going to experience a weekend away. Henry Nouwen forgot about the talent show, but he meant to put that up there. But it can also call forth sectarian exclusivity, in-group language, self-satisfied isolation, my group apart from the rest of the world, and romantic naivete. However, community is first of all a quality of the heart. A quality of the heart. An internal disposition that says, I desire community, and I'm going to do everything within my power to make that community happen. A quality of the heart. It grows from a spiritual knowledge that we are alive not for ourselves, but for one another in this room. Community is the fruit of our capacity to make the interests of others more important than our own. You hear that? Take up your cross and follow me. And Nouwen is specifically reflecting, I don't know if you'll be able to read this slide, but specifically reflecting on Philippians 2, 1 through 5 that will appear in our lectionary, I think next Sunday. It says this, if any of you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded and having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do you hear Paul's desire for community there, for the church? Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others to be better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. So to be with, become like, and live like Jesus, as Father Terry said last night so compellingly, is not an isolated thing. As he always says, me and Jesus double dating on a Friday night. This is not about just Joseph Poliniak becoming more like Jesus. It requires community. It requires the rub of getting to know one another, even people that you don't like but are called to love, and figuring out how in the busyness of our life, in the, all of the things that are pulling at our attention, all of the barriers that we face, how can we build real robust community at Christ Church, in your neighborhoods, and even increasingly online. So here's two questions that I want to leave you with this morning. And I'll return to these in just a second. Do we really want this? Is that a fair question for me to ask? Because maybe we really don't want that. Maybe we really just want the model of community where we just, church is a thing that we do on Sunday for about an hour and a half, and we got to get out before the Broncos kickoff. And no shade, like, I'm usually like, come on, Terry, wrap it up. I got a Broncos kickoff to go. You know, maybe that's what we want. We don't actually want more robust community. I mean, I think we actually do deeper in our hearts, but there's maybe a part of us that's gotten so used to a model of church that's just an hour and a half on Sunday. We do our thing, put our pledge in the plate, and we go, that's just easier. So do we really want the kind of deeper, more robust community that we're talking about here? And two, if so, are we willing to do what's necessary to make it happen? Both for us, for our families, and for everyone else in this room and those who were not able to be with us over the course of this weekend away. And as we've been talking about in all of our other preaching series and the Practicing the Way materials, what we're trying to do in all of that, the prayer, the Sabbath, and these other Practicing the Way preaching series and materials that we'll be using in the church, is to try to close this gap, what they call the action and intention gap, where you have on the one side the best intentions ever. I really want to be in real robust community with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to be there for them, and I want them to be there for me. I want them to be the first person I call when I'm going through a crisis, the 3 a.m. call that Father Terry was talking about yesterday. I really want that. That's my best intention. And yet, on the other side of the super awesome outcome, there is the flaming gap of, blah, maybe never, maybe later, or maybe never, right? There's this gap between the intentions, what we say we want, and our actions in our everyday lives and our habits. So how do we close that gap together and live life and faith together as a community at Christ Church? I told you I was going to be the bad cop in this. This is the most rousing pick-me-up sermon ever. Before we get to those prayers for the people, let me get back to these two questions. And I want to invite you just to sit with these two questions for just a couple minutes. And then I'm going to invite us into a time of prayer. And I want to encourage you to pray for the church, to pray for Christ Church, that there would be a deepening sense of life together in the Holy Spirit and community in our church. I want to invite those last night, Father Terry sensed this nudge that there may be some, one of the biggest barriers to community in the church is people who have been deeply hurt and wounded by the church. Again, if I look at my friends in Seattle, the nuns, the duns, the spiritual but not religious, most of those are folks who have been deeply hurt and wounded by the church, who sometimes specifically been told that they are not welcome in the church. And so guess what? They don't go. They've moved on in life. There may be some folks here that feel that weight and that burden. In this time of prayer, if you want to pray with any of the members of our prayer team, invite you to do that, just to pray for healing. First of all, and as Father Terry said, to pray for forgiveness as well. So let's take a few moments to pray. Pray for Christ Church. Pray for the fractured community of our world. And pray for deeper intention, desire, and action for community in this church. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Lord, we know that you have called us to community. And yet so often that community is so difficult for us. Father, as fallen people, as hurt people, we often hurt people. So often the church has fallen short of its own espoused ideals. And we're left with that lacking and that loneliness. Pray, Father, that you would deepen the desire within us for real and robust community in the Holy Spirit. That you would make us a church that bears one another's crosses and burdens. That you would make us a church that doesn't always like one another, but loves one another. You would make us a church that could bear witness to unity in the Holy Spirit amidst an ever more divided culture. And I pray specifically for anybody in this place who has been wounded by church community in the past and may be reluctant to open up again. I pray for healing, Father, and for forgiveness. Come, Holy Spirit, come, we pray.